Malcolm Forbes once said that failure is success if we learn from it. Tune in twice each month to The Shelly Show as co-host marketers Shelly Iverson and Nate Ebert interview successful business owners who share their failing forward marketing strategies and learn how to master digital marketing, Google Ads, and SEO. Let's go to work.
Hello, I am Shelly.
And this is Nate.
And together we are The Shelly Show.
And as always, we are brought to you by Shelly Social Media, here for all of your digital marketing needs. And today we are here with Fatou Cisse. So go ahead and tell us about yourself and your business, Fatou.
Thank you for having me, Nate and Shelly. So my name is Fatou Cisse, just like you said, and my business is Carousel Home Care. We serve the elderly and disabled within Dean County area.
Okay.
Them to stay in their homes for as long as possible. And we've been around for a little over 8 years.
Oh, wow. Very nice. So then when providing them, so it sounds like you provide in-home care for the elderly. Is that correct?
Yes, in-home care. And some of our services are more personal care. We do companionship. We help them with their meal preps and doctor's appointments. So a whole list of services that we provide to them. But the main focus is to help them to stay in their homes independently as possible.
Very nice. Wow. I'm sure that provides an awesome service to everyone around. I know when I'm planning, I want to stay at home. So it's awesome to see that you've got, you're serving that community that really wants to try to stay as independent as long as possible.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And Nate, you are in the majority.
Yeah. I kind of figured I was. Like, I've seen nursing homes and kind of seen how they operate at times, and it's not the best. Is that kind of where this need really established? Just the fact that most people would like to stay at home?
Yes, definitely most people want to stay at home. Moving into a senior care facility is secondary for a lot of people. I would even say it's like the last resort. It's either lack of resources or lack of support at home would trigger that kind of decision for people to move in. But it's not a part of a whole majority's plan, desire to go out of their homes. But it's happening and in big ways. That's because there isn't much resources out there. And people's personal wealth is limited.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
Yeah. I find that a lot of nursing homes have that, you know, massive price tag, but what they actually do is a lot different. So that's an awesome service, and I'm so glad to really have you on here, Fatou. It's a pleasure to be talking with you and seeing, you know, how you've served Madison as a resource for the elderly here. Mm-hmm. In thinking of through that, like, and, you know, Shelly, for me, the logistics of that just seemed kind of mind-boggling, like how you would go through this. So, Fatou, I'm sure there's been challenges. What's one that you've really kind of experienced, and how have you kind of overcome that challenge?
You know, our industry, the biggest challenge and the biggest challenge I've faced personally within this agency is staffing. Because there is a growing need for these services.
Yeah.
And there isn't many available caregivers to help with those services. And sometimes it's not even like availability, but you're also dealing with reliability.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that can be tough for our kind of business, because when we keep people home, our goal is to ensure that their needs are met. And the people who are going to make their needs met is the people who are going to show up to their home. So if you have a staff that is not as reliable, then definitely that's going to deter your desire to provide that quality service that you had wanted to provide for these customers or the clients, as we call them. So for us, staffing challenge is the thing. Like, we can take as much, but we have to limit it to like what we, the resources we have available in terms of staffing, because we don't want to bring in anybody and not have to give them the service that we wanted to give them or they desire as well and deserve as well.
Yeah, I imagine that they can be the most stellar, you know, best home care person, and it doesn't really matter if they don't show up.
In right.
Yeah.
So, which also means a lot of times you're having to have like a fill-in staff. And if needed, you're needing to also step in yourself, because those services need to be provided. So if you don't have like the quality staff, that means you're going to have to step in to provide that services, because those people need that. So that can be challenging. So for us, how we try to do that is to have a lot of like fill-in staff and have multiple people train with those clients. So that way, if for some reason somebody is not going to show up, we have backup to send in there. But
having that fill-in is super important. I relate to that. Actually, at Shelley's Social Media, we have backups. We have to have backups for our accounts if someone doesn't fulfill their duties. Not you, Nate, you're doing fine. But
I try.
But we do have backups, and it's necessary. And we learn that the hard way too. And I appreciate that. Now, I don't have a lot of experience in this area, and I don't expect that Nate does either, but I do have a little bit of a story to share, because my son, he attempted to do some, it wasn't home care, but just some health care at a local facility here. And he said it just takes a certain kind of person. It didn't work out for him, but he said that it's because it does take a certain kind of person to do this kind of care.
Absolutely.
And so when you said, you know, that's an issue on a personal level, I could see that being a huge issue for you.
Yes. And kudos to your son for realizing, because not everybody quickly realize that this isn't for them. Mm-hmm. I know everybody who gets into it have that feeling of caring to want to do this, but sometimes it's not the right thing for some people, and those people shouldn't be in the field. So glad your son realized that he's not one of the people who needs to be there in the space, and find something better for himself.
Yeah.
And I actually had kind of a question on that, because I think you kind of touched on how you really help with the availability, you know, just bringing in extra support staff as needed and just having people kind of on standby. But the reliability piece is something that I think that a lot of employers really struggle with, because it's so hard to know whether or not someone's going to be, you know, honest during an interview, whether or not they're going to show up. And it's just kind of like, that reliability piece is so difficult to hire for. So what are some ways that you've really kind of learned to really combat that issue, or what's some things that you've put into practice that have helped to lower its impact?
Yeah. So it like you said, it's really hard to gauge that in an interview, right? And you make the calls to references, and of course they're going to provide people who are going to say good stuff about them. So it's hard to gauge that and hiring, but you kind of keep track of the pattern of someone like that, how that is going. And then you put a close eye for us. We put a close eye on that. And that means we are having to have multiple people train with that individual and set a sort of like a strategy with the person as far as communication. Like, if you're not going to show up a certain time, can you please let so-and-so know so that, you know, those people are also like checking to see, not checking with him, but checking with the client to see if this person makes it there, so that we know that if somebody needs to step in, then that individual will step in, because we have a feeling for to fill the gap if that person called in late or something, something comes up. But the big thing there is to see the pattern, because people come to us as new, like we sometimes we don't know them. And now when we don't know them, we go by like what their background says, what their job references tells us. And like I said, sometimes they tell us good stuff, but that's not really what they know about them. But we all know how those things work. But keeping the track of the pattern of how somebody functions is how we try to do it.
Gotcha. So yeah, lots of note taking and making sure that, you know, you're keeping track of when someone's calling in and how often. I was going to say, I've had the experience where someone will have friends be their references, and they tell them about the job and what the expectations are, and we'll call them and they sound professional, but nope, it's just their friend. And then they get in the job and it's just like, it's a constant issue. So I completely understand how the references can kind of, for lack of a better word right now, dupe people. So, you know, that's awesome that you have extra strategies there.
Yeah, we have that. And we also use apps where, when our staff clog in, then we have the information that they clogged in. So if they don't clog in, and then we realize that, oh, somebody is supposed to be, because somebody's checking on schedules to see who's supposed to be where and how that's going. So then that's a way to track also what's going on, if everybody and everything is on track.
Yeah. Okay, very nice. And so I'm assuming that these apps are something that have been kind of implemented over time as you're noticing that this is an issue. What are some other things that you kind of recommend to other business owners out there that, you know, hey, other people are dealing with staffing issues too. I know, Shelley, you've mentioned it, and I absolutely have seen it. So what would you recommend to people that are kind of struggling with staffing, that are really like kind of at an impasse and not knowing how to really solve their situation?
You know, staffing is, so for us, how we have tried to solve that, but I want to mention the app thing first, because the app thing comes with our payroll. So that's part of our payroll. Our payroll provides that. But as far as how to address the staffing thing, the way that we have done that, like I said, I mentioned the tracking of, so we know who's where and who needs to be where, right? But how we acquire like better staff is by having our existing staff, especially our existing staff that we have confidence in, that we trust and have seen the kind of work that they do. If they make recommendation, like we tell them, because I mean, we are in healthcare and we are in home care. A lot of our staff have other jobs within the same industry. So we tend to tell them, like, if you know somebody we're hiring, if you know somebody who, is looking for a job, you can, you know, refer them to us. So that seemed to be better. What we used to is hiring from like job postings on like online. I know it's well used, and I know there is probably good ones out there, but we do not have success on that area. Like, yes, people will come on board, like people will apply for jobs, but at the end of the day, they're not like the quality people that we're looking for somehow.
Okay. So it sounds like you guys have gone from kind of a more kind of hands-off model to something more like building relationships, like making sure that your employees are looking out for either friends, family members, people they trust to kind of bring into the fold. And I think that that is really something that's powerful. Like, you've evolved from using apps like ZipRecruiter, Indeed, that sort of thing, to more of a relationship model. And I think that that's really kind of bold, if I might say, because that might narrow your pool down, but I think you're also overall getting more quality candidates.
And while growth is good and it's important for many people, including us, because when you grow from one person to a 50 something, that's good growth. But the most important, the reason why we're growing is not just because there is need. For us, a lot of people also who are coming to us are coming to us on a personal, like they know someone. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there are people who find us online and come in, and we work with the systems as well. But all of that is trust. Our industry is trust.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that when people trust us for the care of their family members, they're also getting quality. So while it's going to narrow our pool, we might not quickly get as like super big as if we were just picking anybody on online. It's still important to me that the people that we're bringing in are the right people. And sometimes they're not the right people, and then they don't stay. It's just the nature of work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I honestly, Fatu, I think, you know, I think you've provided, at least, you know, especially me as a recruiter, with a lot of ideas of how I can really help any staffing needs and really evaluate staff, kind of, you know, because once you recruit them, you have to retain them. And I think that that's something that's really valuable, is making sure that you are building these relationships and you are looking for that quality over quantity, because, you know, in sports, one of the, you can have all the talent you want, you can have all the ethic you want, but if you're not available, how valuable are you? And so I think that's a powerful lesson, Fatu.
Yeah, it is. It is a very I just love that message. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess that kind of, you know, we're coming to the end here. Is there anything else you'd really like to share just to other business members? Is there anything you'd like to kind of pass on, like, you know, with anyone?
Well, what I would say is hang in there, you know.
that's a really good one.
Keep rolling, you know. So it's going to be challenging sometimes. It can be a bumpy road, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Keep working hard. We know entrepreneurship is working hard. But also making connections, like the right connections. I will steal your word there, bold. Be bold at connecting with people, because I think that's how you grow your network. So that's what I would say to anybody out there, and just hang in there, keep persistent, and connect with others.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I love that message. Thank you so much for sharing that, and thank you so much for being on. It's been a real pleasure talking with you about an industry. I think this is the first time we've had an industry like this on. So, you know, get to learn some of the inner workings of that has been awesome. So, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Nate, for having me, and thank you, Shelley. You guys are doing a terrific job getting the word of entrepreneurs out there. So, we're all learning from you guys.
We try.
Thank you.